So all of the songs have been geared towards that this morning, I hope you've noticed. And our reading in Psalm 145 that we read together mentioned the power of God that acts on our behalf and that is even given to us, infused into us. And that's just the start of it, really. This is power available to us. Now let me just give you three short points to work through. I'm conscious that we have a church meeting at 12, so I'm not going to run over time today. The first thing to note, and this might take you by surprise, because as we think of power and strength, we do think of, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger and those sort of guys, don't we? The guys with the big muscles. God's power works rather differently to that, and the cross would be a pretty big hint of that, wouldn't it? It works through weakness. And this is really spelled out. No, this is where I find out. Oh, no, there's my Bible over here. Thought I'd lost my Bible. This is where we go to 2 Corinthians 12. If ever there was a lesson about power through weakness, it's in 2 Corinthians 12. Just take a look at that if you can, if you have a Bible near to you. It is in weakness that we gain this opportunity to experience, to taste, to feel the strength of God in our souls. That's what Paul discovered as he was beaten up, really. He felt himself, the word he uses is tormented, another word would be buffeted. He felt he was beaten up by what he calls a thorn in the flesh. Verse 7. There's a background to that which you can look at later in the earlier verses if you want. But he is going through some difficulty at this point. He has a thorn in the flesh. He calls it a messenger of Satan. Satan has been given permission to be involved in this somehow. And it torments him. And three times I pleaded, verse 8, with the Lord. This is page 1166. Page 1166. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Well, who wouldn't? But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You see, God has to make us feel weak for us to experience his strength, his power. You see that again and again in the scriptures, that you can never really experience his power until you feel your own weakness. And that's absolutely true, I think, for all believers. Many of you here would agree with that. Say, yes, it's when I've been going through it, it's when I've been tested and tempted and troubled and beaten down that I've called on the Lord in my distress and he's come through for me. He's given me strength. He's strengthened my heart. And I must say I've been feeling that a little bit this week as I've faced one or two challenges that I won't go into at the moment, but I woke up this morning, my mind was anxious, as I'm sure you've experienced as you wake up in the morning, the first thoughts that come into your mind are anxious ones, and I felt disappointed, I felt anxious, felt angry actually about something that's going on, and I had to use the gospel to help me. I had to change the channel of my mind. I had to switch the channel. It's like when you're watching the wrong channel. You need to switch the channel. And the gospel has sort of been helping me all day with this. And I hope through the week and the week to come also, I'm sure I'll wake up again in the morning, same feelings. I'll turn to the gospel, hopefully. I hope I'll have the sense, the wisdom to do that. And that will give me a different way of looking at it. I remembered things like Romans 8:28. I remembered that God promises to use everything in my life, whether good or bad, for my good. And that somehow he's even in control of that. I remembered how often the Bible says, weirdly, perhaps, rejoice when bad things happen to you. James is completely amazing on that score. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face many trials, or trials of many kinds. He gives a reason for that, because you know that this will give you character and maturity and so on. But can you imagine? Not just trials, one or two, but many trials. He says, consider it pure joy. Not pure misery, but pure joy. So I was challenged by those words, and I think helped, strengthened by them. And that's the way the gospel works, isn't it? The gospel works to strengthen our hearts so that we see things differently, from a different angle. We see things from God's perspective. We see things in the light of eternity. I'm going to live forever. God wants me not just to be happy now. He wants me to be happy forever. That's what he's working towards. So you won't get the strength that he promises when you feel self-sufficient, when you feel sort of strong in yourself. The principle is this. You can't get healed until you admit you are sick. You can't get his strength until you face your own weakness. And so God brings into our lives all kinds of things, and I think I can actually say he brings them into our lives without doing us evil. There's a mystery to that, anyway. But he wants us to feel our own weakness so that we can come to him, fall back on him, and experience his strength. Actually, he says this even more clearly, perhaps in the first chapter of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1. He explains why bad things happen to him. In verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 1, he says, we felt we had received the sentence of death. So this was pretty serious trouble that he was going through. We felt that we had received the sentence of death. But this happened so that we might rely, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul knew that the purpose of him going through that was so that he might rely on God, that he might do what we find in the Psalms again and again. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Even Jonah says this in the great fish. He says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and he answered me. He got to rock bottom. He got to the point of despair and desperation, and he throws himself on the Lord. Now, I wonder if that's your religion, because this is authentic Christian religion, I think. It's not the kind of religion that just kind of breezes along. It's the kind that you have to cry out in your distress from time to time, at least. There are times when you are desperate. You say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, help me. Lord, help me get out of this vortex of negative thoughts in my head. That is true Christian religion. It is said of Jesus himself, the unique Son of God, that during his lifetime, he offered up loud cries and tears to God. Jesus, the Son of God, wasn't always having a cozy fireside chat with his Father. Sometimes, in his humanity, he was offering up loud cries and tears to God. Save me. Help me. We see that especially in Gethsemane, but it says during his lifetime, so it wasn't just at that moment. So it works through weakness, this power, this strength for us. It works when we wait on the Lord. We've seen that, we've heard that again in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who hope in the Lord, those who wait on the Lord, those who look to the Lord, those who trust in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It works when we wait on the Lord, when we look to him. It means that we hope in him. It means that we trust in him. It means that we invest our energy and our confidence in the Lord. It also means, of course, that we do have to wait sometimes for things to come around, for things to work out. There is waiting involved in Christian life. God doesn't always snap to it as we pray. He makes us wait, sometimes for some time, for a long time. But as we wait on the Lord, he promises to renew our strength. And then finally, this strength works so we can live extraordinary lives for God's glory. This is not just so that we can feel better about ourselves, though that is part of it, and I thank God for that. But it is so that our lives will display something different, and something that's not ordinary. Who is it who said something about holiness is not an ordinary thing? There are lots of ordinary things. And my mum used to have a china cabinet. I think it's a thing of the past now, but she used to have a cabinet with china for special occasions. I think she hardly ever used it. I never saw her use it once. Quite honestly, it sat there in the lounge, in the living room. But it was for special. It was set apart for special occasions. It wasn't the ordinary stuff that gets chipped. I don't think people do that these days. But God wants us to live extraordinary lives so that when you suffer, when you are troubled, when you go through stresses that everybody goes through, or perhaps even worse, your reaction is different to your neighbors, to the man in the street. It's a different reaction. And that speaks volumes to your neighbor about the power of the gospel, because he then sees that it really works, that it really makes a difference in your life. It gives you a peace and composure that he or she doesn't have. So that they see our good works and praise our Father in heaven, Matthew 5:16. And so that God's grace is working through us, not only for our own good, yes, absolutely, but also for his glory. I'm so pleased these two things come together, our good and his glory come together. And God is most, as one writer has well put it, John Piper, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied by him. And I think we could say when we are most strengthened by him. God is most glorified in us. His glory shines most brightly when we are most strengthened by and satisfied in him. It's so we can live extraordinary lives for God's glory. The Acts 1 verse 8 is where the Holy Spirit comes, and Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So the power is for witness, for showing Jesus in all his glory, in all his goodness, in all his grace to the people around us, to the very ends of the earth. God's grace working for God's glory. Let me show you one more thing, because there is time. Here is a test case, if you like, an actual case of someone being strengthened, and it's in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. It's on page 301, well, that's where it starts. And here is a situation of intense testing for David. As you can see from verse 2, David and his men lose pretty much everything that is dear to them. The women and children are all killed. Their women and children are all killed in verse 2. It's destroyed by fire. Actually, their wives and sons and daughters were taken captive, verse 3, so they weren't all killed. In fact, they killed none of them. I got that completely wrong, forgive me. And as you can see, I've misread that. So they were taken captive. And so then, verse 4, quite naturally, David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. I don't know if any of you have ever been in a position where you have wept aloud until you have no strength left to weep. I don't want anybody to put up their hand, but I imagine there's some people in this room who have wept as much as that. I can't say I've ever been in that situation. His two wives had been captured. These were the days of more than one wife. Verse 5. And then verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Okay, let's add that to the list then. His wives and children have been taken captive. His place, his possessions have been destroyed by fire, verse 3. And now the men are talking of stoning him. His own men, his own friends, are talking of stoning him. Doesn't get a lot worse than that, I think you'll agree. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, understandably. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Now there's a test case, if ever there was one. It couldn't have been much worse for David, but David in that situation found strength in the Lord his God. And so here's the possibility for us. However bad it gets, however much you may be distressed, however much you may weep, however sad or depressed you might be, surely this means that David, who remember lived before Jesus came and before the Holy Spirit was poured out in the way he has been. So in a sense, David was in a worse day than we are for that kind of thing. But he found strength in the Lord his God. And that, I just read that and I say, there's hope for me. You know, if I read this sort of verse last thing at night, you know how I like to use the thing I call the day, I don't call it, it's called the daily light. And sometimes a verse like this is exactly the kind of verse that will come up. David found strength in the Lord his God. I will go to sleep on that verse. I will absolutely go to sleep on that verse, and it will change the channel of my mind because it will remind me that whatever is happening, I can find strength. Even as I fall asleep, I can find strength in the Lord my God. That, you know, that really has been tremendously helpful to me over the years. Very powerful to take a verse like that. David found strength in the Lord his God in a situation of dire distress. I would really encourage you to do the same. Memorize that. David found strength in the Lord his God. This means that it's possible for you too. Probably even more possible because we live on the other side of the cross, on the other side of the coming of Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. There's probably even better chance of us finding strength in the Lord our God than there was for him. Great news. Great. And you know, often we read this, it's just to give us hope. It's just to show us the possibilities in Jesus that we can find strength. I'm sure David went and he threw himself on the ground in his distress, as we read in the Psalms, completely poured out his heart to the Lord. He says that a few times. I pour out my heart to the Lord. And he finds strength to go on. Now, the problems that we are facing are probably, as bad as they may feel, not nearly as bad as David was facing that day. It's possible for you to find strength. It's possible for you to be lifted. It's possible for you to be refreshed through the Lord your God, particularly through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so may we find strength today in our all-powerful, almighty God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we want these things not just to be theory for us, we want them to be practical, we want them to work for us. We thank you that it did work for David. We see that. It worked so well for him. He did find strength. And you do promise to all your people, to all those who love you, who look to you, who wait on you, who put their hope in you, you do promise, it's there in black and white, in your book, that you will strengthen your people when they come to you, call to you, cry to you. And Lord, there are people in this room who are troubled, who are tested, who are distressed, who are beaten up and beaten down also, I suppose, by troubles. And we pray, Lord, that in your grace, in your great mercy, you will hear these prayers. And according to your promise, Lord, according to your promise, strengthen their souls. Strengthen and renew and satisfy our souls with your grace, which is sufficient for us in every situation, in every trial. Help us, we pray, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.